Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the SFLC podcast. I want to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. It's 2018. If you're not accepting credit cards, you're losing money. Plain and simple. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that is dependable/solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com, that is teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business, making it affordable is ours. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5, the Sports Hub, and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com.
SFLC Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SFLC podcast. Here I am, Ryan Sprigg. And first off, a little bit of apologies in order. For those of you who are fans of the show, you know, took a week or two off. A couple of different reasons. A, I didn't know that cedar fever was an actual thing. It is. It was killing my allergies. And for those of you who know out there, yeah, those can be a nightmare. But you will hear Steve Dunn joining us on a little later on. And then secondly, man, with the holidays right around the corner, you know, work has been busy. So for anybody who listens to the show and Steve asks me if I caught one of the 14 freaking fight cards out there, and if I tell you no, it's mainly because of the guest that's on the line right now. But something that we like to do is while I'm in Austin, Texas, a really cool event that's going on that I'd like to kind of chat about a little bit here. We're bringing on the general manager of Speakeasy, Matt Norsha, who has this kind of pre-New Year's Eve event going on for people in the bar and the restaurant industry. Matt, thank you for taking the time with us and kind of, you know, spreading the word about this event you guys have going on.
Hey, no problem, Ryan. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. And of course, you know, Speakeasy and the Trident Hospitality Group have been very, very supportive of this show basically since I moved here. So big shout out to them and thank you to them. But Matt, you've got this bar New Year's Eve going on for bar restaurant employees, but it's really, you know, a kind of an open thing, you know, where there's an industry VIP, but it also says all are welcome. So go ahead and tell me like kind of how this event came to be this year.
Yeah. So a little bit about that. We've done this, I think this is our 18th annual bar and restaurant New Year's Eve. And you're correct. It is open to everybody. Anybody's welcome to come. We basically put this on every year to try to take care of everybody in the hospitality industry, service industry, try to give them a night where they can go out and have fun, and you know, we can give them basically time to blow off some steam before they got to get into New Year's Eve and everything else. The holidays are pretty busy. So like I said, this is the 18th annual one for Speakeasy. It is going to be on Sunday, December 31st, or 30th, sorry. Begins at 8 p.m. Like I said, all are welcome. We're going to have music by PDA. It's an Austin Premier's 90s band. They're going to play a lot of throwbacks, a lot of fun stuff. If anybody's ever been to Speakeasy, we have multiple floors there. So on the upstairs terrace, the upstairs level, we're going to have DJ Toddy B. He'll be playing up there, and DJ Rexshop, who DJs all over downtown. He's DJ for Ludacris, I want to say Bun B, and a couple other people. He'll be in the cabaret. We'll have Countdown to Midnight, just like New Year's Eve, drink specials, balloon drop, party favors, champagne test, all that kind of stuff.
Wow, so you've got a little bit of everything going on, and yes, you're right. For this venue, there are one, two, three, four bars that I know that are open in this establishment?
Yep, we'll have the whole place open.
Now, just out of curiosity, how many people can this venue fit from floor to ceiling?
We can fit, I would say, roughly over 1,300.
Wow, over 1,300. That's a lot of work, sir. You're going to be able to manage 1,300 people in one night, and then turn around and do it again the next night.
So every year, yeah, that's a fun task for us, but we like doing it. Let's put it on for everybody else so everybody else can have fun with us. But yeah, we'll be doing that, turning around, waking back up early the next day, probably 10 or 11, back down to set up for New Year's Eve.
And then, of course, there's a lot of cleaning that goes in, a quick turnaround time, like you said, between the bar New Year's Eve and New Year's Eve, which is the following day, Monday, December 31st. But there's a lot that goes into this, obviously. I know that you can go to eventbrite.com to get this, but how else can people kind of reach out? If they have questions, they want to reserve tables, they don't know how many people are going to be coming on. How can they do that?
So if you want to RSVP for it, it's going to be speakeasy. Bar New Year's Eve 2018.eventbrite.com, and it's obviously at 412 Congress Avenue. Otherwise, you can call 512-47-PARTY or events at 47party.com.
And is this going to be kind of like a first come, first serve sort of thing, or you're really going to try and make it so that everybody is able to come in at the same time?
We're going to try to make it to where everybody can come in at the same time. Basically, the RSVP and everything just kind of guarantees you entry as far as if we fill up to capacity, which likely we will, because every year it gets really busy. Everybody kind of comes out and blows off steam, like I said. So it'd be good to RSVP, but otherwise, we'll try to get everybody in at the door.
I was about to ask you. So RSVP, probably the preferred method of going about this, but some people end up making their plans last second. So you're saying they shouldn't really have a problem being able to get in the night of, you know, if this ends up being like a last second thing for customers and people.
Yeah, they should be all right on it. I mean, service industry is notorious for wandering from bar to bar. So everybody kind of comes out and parties, and I'm sure people will wander. So we should have plenty of space for everybody.
Now, you personally, if people wanted to go and find you, are they going to find you up on the third floor at the rooftop terrace? Are they going to find you more at the music lounge up in the front, at the base level? Where are they going to be able to find Matt Norsha?
I would say good luck.
Well, you are definitely a straight shooter on that.
I'll be on all the floors running around all night, but if they want to get in touch with me, they can ask any staff member, and I should be there within 5 minutes.
Gotcha. So a little bit more about this. I mean, this is the 18th annual. You guys have been doing this for some time, but you did take like a year or two where it ended up going to other places. I know that, is it Tito's that's sponsoring this event as well? Tito's Vodka?
So Tito's is sponsoring the event as well as Knob Creek.
Oh, wow. So you've got Tito's and Knob Creek.
Tito's Knob Creek are both sponsoring it, and then, you know, I'm sure there'll be a bunch of other sponsors that'll be out here day of, you know, hawking products, giving away swag.
Wow. So definitely not an event to miss. But again, before we let you go, Matt, just go ahead and one more time let people know how they can reach out, how they can respond, how they can get in touch with this event.
All right. So again, it's going to be on Sunday, December 30th. And in order to RSVP, it's going to be Speakeasy Bar New Year's Eve, which is NYE2018.eventbrite.com. Or you can just call 512-47-PARTY or events at 47party.com.
Well, thank you very much for the time, Matt. Look forward to seeing everybody out on Sunday, December 30th for Speakeasy 18th Annual Bar New Year's Eve event. Make sure you get those RSVPs out there, people. You don't want to leave it to chance, but of course, they're always going to try and accommodate you when and if ever possible. So thank you again, Matt, and we look forward to talking to you as that event nears coming up next Sunday.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right, and joining us now on the line via the magic of Skype, for those of you who don't know, I did move out to Austin a little while ago from Chicago, Illinois, and part of that was because I really wanted to see the MMA and combat sports culture in Texas. You know, Steve Dunn, our co-host, is also from Dallas, so it only made sense that we'd try and talk a little bit about regional and statewide coverage of mixed martial arts and combat sports. So insert Blake, Money Blake Weather Stevenson, who trains at the UFC South Austin gym right here locally. He was able to get me in touch with our guest today, the owner of the UFC South gym in Austin, Frank Grazier. Frank, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, thank you, Ron. I appreciate you having me on.
So, you know, we had a little bit of a discussion beforehand talking about what got you into combat sports. You have a pretty extensive background in boxing, actually, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I got a late start. I didn't start boxing until I was 31. I was a college basketball player, tried to play professionally. That didn't work out. So anyway, I was living in Tyler, Texas, and across from the dealership I worked at was a pro boxing gym. And anyway, the owner of the gym came over one day with Terrell Biggs, who was the gold medalist. In 1984, he fought Tyson for a championship in like 86 or 7. And anyway, they came over, and I'd been in a car wreck, and I was boxing just for, you know, like fitness, just for, you know, I always been interested in it. And they invited me over to the gym, and so I went over there, and I was kind of like the laughing stock, the big white guy that, you know, they had moving around. And then after about a month and a half, you know, they start putting me in the ring, so I was thrown in with professional fighters real early. And anyway, I ended up having a couple of amateur fights, won those, turned pro in 95 at the age of 30. I was right the day before my 36th birthday. Won my debut in the guy's hometown in by New Orleans. And then ended up fighting another... fought a guy named Monty Barrett, who ended up being like, he was like the WBO champion at one point. Got thumbed in the eye, and that basically ended my career. So I took about 15 years off, and anyway, saw, whenever I moved to Austin, was shopping, and I saw a UFC gym, and I became a member here, and really got exposed to mixed martial arts at that time. They had a couple guys here, Valmir, I can't remember his last name. He's an MMA fighter, you know, a guy named Wellington. And anyway, Valmir got me back in the ring. Even though I'd been away for 15 years and I was 53 years old, I started, you know, boxing, kickboxing. You know, my background is boxing, though. So anyway, I'm drawn to this. And anyway, bought the gym 2 years ago. My daughters and I run it. We got right at 300 members. And, you know, anybody who could hear my voice, I welcome you in here. And we'd love to have you. And whether you're just starting out, you know, or you're, want to be a professional fighter, or if you are a professional fighter, we'd love to have you. You know, we have open sparring on Friday nights at 6:30, and then on Saturday also at 12:30. So anybody, you know, we've got guys that are from 140 pounds all the way up to me. I weigh 240. So you know, if you want to come in, get in shape, we'll learn how to fight, come see me. We'll take care of you.
And, you know, it's interesting that you bring up the concept of getting into shape, because obviously we talked about him. I'll be talking with him tonight. Blake Money, Blake Weather Stevenson, he does train at your gym. And man, I'm here to tell you, the transformation that your gym has done for him alone, that's something that we talk about frequently. And I mean, tip a hat to you, sir, with all of the work that he's put in. However, I wouldn't be doing my due job if I didn't bust on him a little bit. So I have to ask you, how is his boxing skills? How have those kind of progressed throughout the time?
Blake hits the bag extremely hard. He's actually got pretty good skill level. If you were to walk in and, you know, just see him hitting the bag, you know, you would think, hey, that guy, you know, fought before. He has, you know, really good hooks, good footwork. And, you know, Blake has worked extremely hard to transform himself. And, it's a work in progress. He still has, more he wants to do. And, he's in here every night, you know, putting in the work, hitting the bag. He's one of our hardest workers. And I'm really proud of the progress he's made, because, you know, that's the thing about it. I mean, you come into these classes, most of our, fitness classes, they're run about an hour, and they burn 800 to 1,000 calories an hour. So even if you're eating crap, you're going to lose weight just by, you know, coming in here, you know, about four times a week, you'll lose weight. I promise you, you'll see your body transformed. It's, you know, whenever I was a basketball player, you know, before I became a fighter, and I thought I was in pretty good shape. And I found out pretty quickly whenever I started getting in the ring with, you know, sparring with professionals that I was in, wasn't in any, near the shape I thought I was. So, you know, like I say, you know, this is, you know, once you get into this and start doing it, you know, you'll just feel stronger. Your body will look better. And, you know, I'm 57 years old, and, you know, I still get in here with, you know, these guys, you know, sometimes, you know, there was one kid I got in here with the other day. I mean, well, you know, 16-year-old kid, weighed 210 pounds, you know, being 41 years difference, you know, in age. But, you know, age, like I said, you know, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, how old you are, whatever, it's all up in your head. And like I say, I just encourage anybody to come, regardless if you're young, if you're old. And you'll see the difference. And I'm really proud of Brett Blake and what he's accomplished here. If you would see a before and after picture of him, you would be shocked. Well, you know him, so I mean, but you know, I'm really proud. He's one of the many members here that I'm really proud of, because I've seen a lot of differences made in a lot of people's lives by coming here.
You know, and it's always important to kind of clarify. I don't think with you being a Division I basketball player that you were ever out of shape. It's just something completely different. No,
it's like,
you know, it's like if I were to go right now into a high intensity interval training class, I'm going to get my ass kicked. There's no two ways about it. You know, it's like the same time, like I was never a distance runner. So about a month ago, I started running a little bit more. And I was getting smoked by this girl who was all of 5'6", probably even in heels. But you know, she was trained a distance runner. I wasn't trained a distance runner. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think it's necessarily that you're out of shape per se. It's just you're training your body to do something that it just hasn't done before, and nobody ever thought to push it to that limit.
Well, and you know, and whenever I would go, like whenever I was boxing, you know, at that level, you know, whenever I would go back and play basketball, I mean, it made me a better basketball player. And I was like, crap, I should have been doing this. I should have been doing this shit back when I was playing basketball, you know, because it just made such a difference. This level of training and everything, not everybody can be a fighter. I mean, I admit that. However, you know, you can train like a fighter and, you know, you get the results and everything. And, you know, that's the main thing. You know, people, you know, a lot of times they get into ruts or whatever, you know, if you just lift weights, I think I've been there, you know, you get where you're lifting weights and, you know, you lift three or four times a week and then you look up and, you know, 3 years later you gain 40 pounds. And, you know, I was at that point at one time, you know, I looked at the scale and I was at 298 and I was just like, what the hell am I doing? And so, you know, every time that I would need to get back in shape, I start boxing again, you know, whether it be in my backyard or, you know, going to a gym there when I lived in McAllen. And, you know, but now that I own this gym, you know, I'm in here, you know, 5-6 times a week. And, you know, like I say, it's just, you know, turn back the clock as far as, you know, I feel really good. You know, people, you know, the main thing that we're helping people here, you know, and, you know, if we can help people achieve their goals and, you know, we'll be successful. And, you know, so far, I'm real proud of everything we've accomplished here because we've helped a lot of people. You know, Blake is one of them. You know, it's just there's a lot of people here that this has made a big difference in their lives, and I'm really proud of that.
Now, you mentioned that this gym was run by you and your daughter, and I noticed that she does boxing.
My daughters, Nikki and Grace.
Oh, damn. Okay, there are two daughters.
Yeah. Two daughters, yes.
And they both do boxing conditioning and all of that kind of training. Were they raised to be fighters as well?
No. Well, Nikki was probably a little more involved in it than Grace. Grace was a baby whenever I was fighting. It kind of traumatized her. I came home from a fight one night and, heck, you know, it was all cut up and everything. And she would scream to kiss my cuts before I would leave. And it was kind of traumatizing. But Nikki, my older daughter, followed me around quite a bit. She I was probably, you know, 10 or 12 at the time. And, like, if I went, you know, like, I lived in Tyler. So, you know, there was another pro that was in Longview, and I would go over there and, you know, help him train for, you know, if he had a fight coming up. And, you know, she did, you know, she would, you know, she was around it a lot. You know, she was also around me, you know, a lot for my basketball career. You know, the girls were, I played basketball at a, you know, fairly high level up until, I don't know, until I hurt my knee in my early 50s. But, you know, they were there, you know, Nikki was there with me quite a bit, you know, while I was boxing. You know, and she would, you know, be my cut man, you know, because I'd be there by myself. So if I was bleeding or something, she'd have to, you know, get the towel out and, you know, oh, Dad, I don't want to do this. And I'd say, oh, just, you know, but she, you know, she's been around it. She's actually very talented. She gets in the ring sometimes and spars. And if you're not paying attention, she'll knock the crap out of you. She's got a lot of power. And then Grace is drawn more to the fitness aspect of it, you know. And I'm real proud of both of them. They're seeing results out of this as well. You know, they both lost considerable amount this year, lost considerable amount of weight, transformed their bodies, and they feel good and, you know, look good. And, you know, the thing about it is, it gives you more confidence. You know, you just you know, now you're feeling good about yourself. You just become, you know, better at what you do. Whether, you know, whether you're an accountant or a boxer or whatever you are, I mean, you're just, if you feel good about yourself, you're going to be better at what you do. So I encourage people, you know, if you can't come to my gym, come go somewhere else and, you know, do this type of training, because you'll see the results. I promise you, you'll see the results.
And I agree with you. As a matter of fact, one of the UFC gyms that I used to go and watch fighters train was up in Chicago, run by BJ Haddad, and a very, very wonderful gym up there. But, you know, being a boxing guy yourself, who's kind of transformed into the mixed martial arts community, you know, I look at your schedule and you have, you know, ultimate training, you have kickboxing, you have no-gi jiu-jitsu, you have boxing conditioning and training. Which aspect of that are customers more drawn to when they come into your gym?
Most of our customers are drawn either to boxing or kickboxing. You know, most of our customers are fitness customers. You know, we have a really good jiu-jitsu program here that's run by a guy named Levi Buholland, who's a local MMA fighter, professional MMA fighter. Got a you know, traditional martial arts program that is run by a guy named Paul Rana, who is a current world champion at Taekwondo. One of my kickboxing coaches over the weekend won the world amateur Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu championship. You know, Levi won Naga 2 weeks ago. I've got a two-time Golden Gloves champion who runs our boxing program. I'm a former professional boxer. You know, so the people that are here are the real thing. You know, and I'm proud of that. So, you know, even though you might not ever want to be a boxer or, you know, do professional MMA, like I say, you can train with these people and, you know, you'll get a lot out of it. And, you know, Levi has done a great job with our jiu-jitsu program. You know, everything we do here is no-gi. Because, you know, MMA is all done with no gi, so, you know, we have a no gi program here, and it's, you know, got real good attendance. You know, Paul has a really good traditional martial arts program, you know, which is kind of like Taekwondo. He does a little bit of everything, and, you know, it's a belt program, so people can belt out of it. You know, the boxing and kickboxing, we spar about three nights a week, and the people that want to get in there, you know, learn how to do it. You know, we're not trying to take each other's heads off or anything like that. So they get to look, get in there and see, you know, what it's about. And I've actually, you know, we've had some of our members that have come from our fitness area, and we've ended up having fights, and I'm real proud of that. So we got a couple more that talked to me last night about wanting to fight in Golden Gloves that's coming up. And so, you know, there'll be like, you know, Muay Thai smokers, you know, sometimes, you know, here in Austin, they'll have like a, you know, Muay Thai smoker. You know, we've had some guys that have gone to that. You know, we, you know, Jiu-Jitsu, we have competed. I've competed a little bit in jiu-jitsu also. Once I got here and I started doing all this stuff, as a boxer, you kind of have, boxers, I hate to say this, but, they kind of look down at mixed martial arts. And, once I got here, I figured out real quick that, this is a real shift. You've got to, this is tough. Actually, this is tougher than boxing because you've got to be good at so many disciplines. And so, so I started doing jiu-jitsu once I got here, competed in a couple tournaments and did, got second in my first tournament and, made the semifinals in my second one, but my knee has not allowed me to do that anymore. But, it's, here you, it's well-rounded. You'll learn all aspects of MMA and, and it's taught by people who are, really good at what they do and they're passionate about it. And, it shows in our members, we have one of the highest retention rates of all the USC gyms in the nation. And I'm really proud of that because people really enjoy themselves here. Now, something else that I didn't mention, and I don't want this to seem like an ad for my gym, but we do have a really good kids program here, too. We start kids out at 5 years old. And, we have kids that are 5 years old rolling around on the ground, doing jiu-jitsu, learning how to defend themselves. And, I'm proud of that, too, because there's been a couple situations with kids at school have been bullied or something like that. They come in here and it helps their confidence and everything, and they can defend themselves. So I'm proud of that. And, it's helping, not just adults, but kids as well.
And that's awesome that you're able to get the kids started at such a young age. We start to hear more and more about, the injuries that are happening when kids are playing, football or they're doing all that. And, you never think to yourself to get them into this sport. But again, this sport is so new that, we're celebrating UFC's 25-year anniversary. The UFC is younger than I am. But still, it's something that takes a lot of discipline, and getting the kids in there is very important. Now, you did mention that, with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's not really a way for you to belt or to earn stripes. But that's not always, seldom is that the purpose, right?
No, the whole thing is, now I have nothing against people that, want to get belts and, and there's a place for that, we used to have a belt program here for Jiu-Jitsu and, anyway, we decided to go with no gi. Most of our members wanted, more practical, because I hate to say this, but, on the street, fine, you're not going to, have a guy coming at you in a gi, so you've got to be able to, it's a little bit more practical that way. So, teach kids, though, how to defend themselves. I had a kid that, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Thank y'all. God bless y'all. Hey, Jesse.
He's always working.
Yeah, I'm sitting out here in front of my gym right now, so people are coming by and saying hello and Merry Christmas. What's up, brother? How you doing? Forgot where I was. Like you said, we do mostly no gi. Everything we do here is no gi. And I want kids, kids that are, they get bullied. There was the state that actually sent us a kid because he was having some anger issues. And he was getting bullied at school and things like that. And one day he came in and he goes, "Hey, man, I got suspended from school today." And I go, "Well, what happened? Why would you get suspended from school?" And he goes, "Well, somebody attacked me and I defended myself." And I go, "Okay, tell me what happened." And so anyway, this kid threw mashed potatoes in his face and attacked him. And anyway, he goes, I blocked it with my right arm just like he taught me to do. And I came back with a right hand and a left hook, knocked him down. And they suspended him for 2 days. The other kid got 1 day. But, the kid was proud of himself. He defended himself and, nobody messed with him anymore. So, sometimes, you don't want kids getting into fights at school, but, they need to be able to defend themselves. So, we've had a couple other situations like that have happened where, kids have, had to take care of something, and I always tell them when they're here, you don't want to ever use this on the street unless you absolutely have to, because, you know, 99% of the people that walk the streets have no idea what it's like to get hit by, you know, a professional fighter or, you know, somebody that's been trained. And once they do, you know, you don't want to ever have to use that on the street. But to have that confidence if somebody, you know, messes with you on the street, you know, you can take care of your business. And it gives you a sense of confidence that it's hard to explain, you know, but it does, you know, you feel better, you know, that, you know, you can get out of just about any situation. And the way we do things here, you know, with the, you know, doing jiu-jitsu, doing striking, doing all that, you know, you're going to walk out of here and you'll be a lot better equipped to take care of yourself if something were to ever happen.
Absolutely. Now, as you kind of look at all of these fighters that come in, or all these people who are more on the fitness level, occasionally, like you said, you do have guys who come in or girls who come in and say, all right, I think I'm trained enough. I want to go and fight. I won't mention the professional fighter who said this on this show. I won't do him dirty like that. But I was talking with him before I moved here, and I asked him why I couldn't find much in Austin about mixed martial arts. And he said, because the MMA scene in Austin is weak. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, you know, I don't know where he's from, or I'm not going to say nothing, you know. I mean, I'm not going to throw any shade on him either. So, but, you know, here, you just got to know where to look, man. I mean, there's, you know, I can give shout-outs to a lot of people here, you know, that I know.
By all means, go ahead. Use this platform.
I mean, yeah, the Gracie Fat Studios here, top team, you know, Brazilian top team has a studio up north. Richard Lord has a, you know, world-renowned boxing gym in central Austin. You know, there's another boxing gym, South Austin gym. You know, they have a lot of, you know, fights over there. You know, we have our stuff, you know, here in South Austin. You know, we draw from all over the city. So, you know, I'm proud of what we have here. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, bye, we'll see you later, Edgar. Take care. Good night. Take care. You know, but I'm proud of what we have here. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, like I said, I mean, I know, you know, it's just like, you know, I mean, you know, when I was a basketball player, you know, I grew up in Houston, you know, and everybody who, you know, seemed to be from New York said, oh, man, nobody can play down in Texas. Well, you know, whenever, you know, you play against them one-on-one and they find out, hey, these guys can play, they got some game. You know, like I say, a lot of it just has to do with, you know, the area or whatever. I mean, like, if you go to Houston, it's got a big boxing and Muay Thai, you know, culture there. You go up to Dallas, they've got, you know, big boxing, you know, culture up there. You know, here in Austin, I think, you know, it's a pretty good culture, you know, of MMA here. You know, I know, I mean, if I, you know, I mean, Naga's here quite a bit, you know, for jiu-jitsu. You know, the Gracies have their stuff here. There's other people, you know, that have stuff here too. So, you know, I mean, if he wants to come down here, you know, check it out, you know, he's welcome to. You know, like I say, I mean, there's, I think he'd be surprised the level of people here. And, you know, like I say, it's just a matter of, you know, like I say, you know, whenever you're from a big city, you know, look, I'm from Houston, so you think, oh, hell, you know, hell, there's nobody can play in Austin. You know, nobody can, you know, basketball, let's say. You know, there's no players in. Yeah, hell, there's pockets of, you know, this everywhere. And MMA is getting bigger, and there's more and more people that, you know, that practice it. You know, there's several, you know what I mean? And just in my gym, I mean, hell, I mean, this guy, Darren, the kid that went to my kickboxing, he's like my kickboxing instructor. Hell, he won the World Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Championship over the weekend, you know. Levi Mulholland won Naga, you know. I've got guys, you know, we've got Golden Glove fighters here. You've got all this stuff. There's a lot of good fighters here, you know. What's that lady's name who trained boxers. I mean, there's a lot here. And, you know, I was really surprised, you know, being from other parts of the state, you know, really what there is here. I mean, so, you know, a lot of it is, you know, you just gotta, you know, where to look, just like anything else.
Absolutely. So, you know, before we kind of close things up, obviously you own a gym. There are a few fights I have to get your opinion on. I won't be doing my job if I'm not asking these. You know, being a boxing guy, we'll start there first. One of the big fights coming up is January 19th, where you are going to have actually two really interesting fights. One that does have title implications on it, and one that seemingly has title implications on it. I'm talking, of course, about the Manny Pacquiao-Adrian Broner fight, which, you know, we'll start with the co-main on that, where you have Badou Jack taking on Marcus Brown. Now, Badou Jack is one of Floyd Mayweather's, you know, prized possessions. You know, he's 22-1. He's going up against Marcus Brown for the WBA interim light heavyweight title. And as you look at these guys, you know, Badou Jack's a little older. Marcus Brown's a little greener, but he looks to be maybe in better shape. As you look at this fight coming up, and of course we do have almost a month until this happens, does Badou Jack kind of retain this, or is Marcus Brown going to be the top-rated contender that is able to dethrone Badou Jack?
I don't know a lot about either one of these guys. You know, Badou Jack, I know, Mayweather's behind him. They're not going to put him in there with anybody at this point that has a real chance of beating him. I just don't see Badou Jack losing that fight.
Oh, wow.
You know, I just don't see it happening. Especially if Mayweather's behind him, he's a promoter. That's not going to happen. I mean, boxing's a little different than MMA. I'll say one thing about MMA. You can't hide in MMA. You know, in boxing, they can, you know, bring your, you know, build your record up and everything against guys that, you know, don't have, you know, much of a chance of winning. They bring them in, you know, and, you know, pretty much know what the outcome's going to be. Once you get to that level, you know, like I said, I mean, I don't know much about who's Jack fighting? What's his name again?
Marcus Brown, who is 22-0 with 16 knockouts.
Wow. Ryan, I wish I could tell you I knew a little bit more about it, but, you know, like I say, I mean, in boxing, you really got to look at their records, who they fought, common opponents, things like that, because, you know, I was looking, you know, at some other boxers today, and you look at, you know, I can almost look at a boxer's record and tell you how he's been brought along and everything. And like I say, MMA, you don't see that as much because, you know, that's why you'll have a guy, you know, who's fighting for a world championship in MMA. He might only have 10 or 12 fights. But, you know, because they don't, I mean, they're basically thrown into the mix right off the bat, whereas the boxers are usually brought along a little bit slower, especially if they have a promoter behind them. They'll build their record up against, you know, guys that, you know, don't have, you know, very good chance of winning, or they'll bring them in at short notice, things like that. So, now that's on the undercard of the Broner fight, right?
That is correct. That is correct, sir.
Yeah. That would have been a great fight 5 years ago. Looking around and, looked a little bit at, you know, how they're training and, Pacquiao looks really good. My initial reaction is that, you know, Broner wins this fight, but, based on what I've seen, you know, and everything, I think Pacquiao's going to take that fight. I really do. He's, Broner has always been a poor man's, Mayweather, you know, same type of style, things like that. He gets hit a lot more though than Mayweather does. And, I think what they're looking at is, you know, Broner gets him another good payday. Pacquiao gets him a win against a name opponent. And then it wouldn't surprise me to see Pacquiao and Mayweather go one more time.
I was going to ask you, that was the alleged, you know, title implication. Floyd Mayweather, man, just doesn't seem like he ever wants to stop, you know, and there's always been controversy behind the Manny Pacquiao-Floyd Mayweather fight the first time it happened, how it took so long to come together, drug doping, injuries, so on and so forth. But, you know, if you end up seeing Manny Pacquiao come out of this, and it is signed that Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather run it back again, I mean, you're seeing two fighters in their 40s. The names alone will sell pay-per-views, but as somebody who's followed the sport as long as you have, are you going to take much stock in that fight?
Well, it's compelling just because of their names. You know, and you, Mayweather, whatever you people want to say about him, he's the best fighter of our, best boxer of our generation. You know, I mean, at 40, you know, I mean, he stood in front of, you know, you saw what Canelo did this weekend to, what's his name, Rocky.
I mean, I know what happened. I did not watch that god-awful performance.
I watched the replay of it today. I mean, you know, Canelo was just so much a class, three classes above that guy. But, you know, Canelo is really good. And then you see what Mayweather did with Canelo, even at an advanced age. And, you know, he's just, he's amazing. And I really think they're going to run that back because, you know, Pacquiao, Mayweather, you know, Mayweather, you know, say what you want to, he knows how to make money. And, you know, he doesn't get hit a lot. He'll go in there with Pacquiao. You know, he'll end up, you know, getting his win and making plenty of money. But it'll be a compelling fight. You know, and eventually, if he keeps fighting, somebody's going to catch him. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, when he does, when that happens. But, you know, I mean, he picks his fights very carefully. He knows, you know, who he can beat, who he, you know, I mean, who he has a better chance of beating. He, you know, his record means a lot to him. So, you know, I think he sees, you know, Pacquiao is another really good payday. And, you know, I think it's still a compelling fight. You know, I mean, you know, the Broner-Pacquiao fight, I don't think is, you know, all that compelling to me. But cause I really think Pacquiao will, you know, will just hit him, you know, pretty much at will. But, you know, Broner just, you know, I think Broner, like I said, he has that peekaboo style that Mayweather has, but he's just not, you know, near as good at it as Mayweather is. So, you know, I see Pacquiao winning that fight, and then I really think you're gonna see Pacquiao and Mayweather fight it back.
Wow, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll kind of turn the tables over to mixed martial arts. Two more fights I want to ask you about, mainly from your standpoint on this. We have the co-main event. We have Amanda Nunes. She's going to be stepping up a weight class, but really, in the grand scheme of things, almost two weight classes to fight Chris Cyborg. You know, obviously, she's not... Chris Cyborg isn't too heavily favored, but it's not too far off. Is the increase in weight... and just the specimen that is Cyborg going to be too much for Nunes to be able to overtake this fight?
Yeah, I believe it is. You know, I did a little, you know, research on it today. You know, I didn't realize they were fighting until I looked up the cards to see, you know, to see about Jones and Gustafson fighting. And you know, I just think Cyborg is just, you know, she is. She weighs 140, 145 pounds, but, you know, her muscle mass is just so much more than what, you know, most of her competitors are. And her skill level in Muay Thai and striking and everything is just, you know, world class. You know, obviously Nunez is probably better on the ground. Cyborg, I didn't realize this until today. Everything that she's ever done has been through, I mean, knockouts, strikes, you know, TKOs, never anything as far as submissions. So, you know, Nunez, I think, has a chance, you know, if she can get her on the ground. But, Cyborg is really good at, you know, once she does get back, if she gets on the ground, she gets right back up and goes to work. And I really see... you know, Cyborg, winning that fight, you know, but, you know, looking at Cyborg's record, she actually lost her first MMA fight. You know, she got submitted. And so it can happen. So, you know, Nunez is, you know, obviously her jiu-jitsu skills are, you know, world class. That's what got her where she's at. So there's a chance. But if I had to, you know, if I were betting on myself, Roger, I would say, you know, Cyborg will, you know, probably knock her out, second round.
Wow, all right. So you're calling out the knockout and the round. You've listened to Beat the Fight Guys before, I can tell. But the last fight I want to ask you about, you were alluding it to, obviously you have John Jones versus Alexander Gustafsson. It's been argued that Gustafsson was one of John Jones' toughest competitors that he's faced. He ended up winning the first fight. There are some people who might argue it. I am not one of them. John Jones is coming off of almost 2 years layoff, before he fights again. You know what ring rust is. You know, it's a real thing. Is John Jones going to go out there and just prove to the world that, you know, he was superior to Gustafsson, or is Father Time and that ring rust going to play into this fight more than we expect it to?
If John Jones is right, he wins this fight easily. If he's not, it's going to be a tough fight, you know. And, Gustafsson, cut him, Gustafsson hit him, probably more so than... Gustafsson's a big guy. He's, 6'4", 6'5"? At that weight class, that's huge, Now, Jones still has a lot longer reach than he does, but, I see Jones winning this fight, unless he just, completely, unless it depends on his training. But, he's never lost. I mean, say what you want to about the guy. I mean, he's never lost. Before this, a couple of years ago, before he got suspended, I saw a picture, a friend of mine, I go into call on a client, he goes, take a look at this. And it's a picture, of Jones partying in Vegas the night before a fight. You're like, what the hell is he doing? But hey, it works. He's so talented, he can make it happen. He does things that, like hitting people with, shoulders, foot stomps, that oblique kick to the knee, which I think is dirty, but, hey, it worked. They let it happen, so it works, and he wins. So, like I say, I don't see Gustafsson beating him, but, I think it'll be a good fight. I think, Gustafsson will get him a good fight. If he's going to catch Jones, it's actually early because, once he gets comfortable back in the ring after, being out for, think about it. There's a lot of this whole thing with ring rust, it's a little overhyped, I think, because, he's in the gym, he's training, if he's doing things, he's probably sparred, 80 to 100 rounds getting ready for this, if he's got, his trainers are doing their job. So if he does, if he's done his work, to get ready for this thing like he's supposed to, the rust shouldn't be a problem. Now, if he goes out and parties the night before, like he's done in the past, and then it'll be, he could very well get beat, but I just don't see it happening. I think Gustafsson, gives him a good fight, but, I think, Jones will end up, taking a decision, pretty handedly.
All right, and last question for you. Should Jones become victorious against Alexander Gustafsson, as a fight fan, where do you want to see John Jones go next? Do you want to see him fight Daniel Cormier for either the light heavyweight title or the heavyweight title? Or do you want to see John Jones take on Anthony Lionheart Smith, who has just been storming through the light heavyweight ranks?
I think he goes Cormier first and gets that out of the way. And then he'll go after, Anthony, because he still has some unfinished business. I saw Cormier today, he was calling him out a little bit about, testing positive for drugs and things like that. And, say what you want to, whether he's on drugs or not, the guy can fight. So, I think Cormier, I think that'll probably happen first. And then, if Jones does what he's supposed to do with Gustafsson and this guy, that'll be the next big fight in MMA.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Grazier of the UFC South Austin Gym. We want to thank you for taking your time with us tonight. But before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you, where they can enroll in classes, where they can, go ahead and catch all these fights that are coming on. Man, take the time.
Okay, well, we're down in South Austin, just south of the Slaughter, 9900 I-35. Suite 500 right next to the Cinemark Movie Theater in South Park Meadows. want to give out a shout out too to all my trainers and staff. We've got a great group of people here. I got Julio Villanueva, who does all of our kickboxing in the morning, very passionate about what he does. Sam Rivera is our director of training. He also works at corners in MMA fights and professional boxing matches. He's a great guy for mitts or whatever. Looked to get in shape. Sam's the guy to do it. He's the one that got me in shape. Curtis Hightower, Golden Glove champion. He's also an LPC champion, does our boxing. Darion Terry, he's the young man I told you about. He's won the IBJJF gold medal world champion over the weekend. Got Levi O'Holland, who's does our jiu-jitsu. He won Naga this 2 weeks ago, and he's also a professional MMA fighter. He won the top division, awesome. So he's a real thing. And then I got Paul Rana, who's a sixth and degree black belt Taekwondo, who's also a current world champion. So got a good group of people here. I'm real excited, real passionate about what we do here, and I really hope that we can see some. Some of your listeners here, make sure you come by too. I really appreciate that. Yeah. We'll have to have y'all, give us a call here at 512-292-1900, and, we'll set you up for a class. You can try classes too for free, and, see if it's what you like to do. If you like it, and I promise you, you'll get the results, and main thing, you'll have a good time, and it won't feel, you go to a gym where you get on, treadmill, something like that, and it's kind of like drudgery. This shit is fun, I promise you. You'll get a lot out of it. You'll get in shape. You'll be able to defend yourself, some too. And if you want to learn how to fight, we got that here too. So anyway, we'd love to have y'all. And Ron, I really appreciate you having me on. Anytime, I'd love to come back on if you're looking for a guest.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, before that happens, you got to promise me that you're going to beat the shit out of Blake Stevenson a little bit tonight, all right?
Hey, we got to get him in the ring first. Hell, he's on the bags all the time, but I need to get him in the ring.
Well, he was trying to get me to come in there.
Hey, well, guys, come check it out. I'd love to have you. How long you been in Austin now?
Oh, gosh, I want to say I'm going on 3 months.
Oh, hell, you're brand new. Hell, you need to come. Do you live south?
I do live south.
Oh, then what the hell are you doing, man? You need to get over here. Come check me out sometime.
I will absolutely take you up on that one, Frank. We want to appreciate you for taking the time with us again. Just a great conversation, and we look forward to hearing from you and everything that's going on in the UFC South Austin gym. So thank you again, sir.
Okay, God bless y'all. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
All right, and that's going to do it here on this segment of the SFLC podcast. Again, we want to thank our guests for coming on tonight, especially Matt Norsha, taking the time to talk about Speakeasy's Bar New Year's Eve event going on, so make sure that you check that out. And don't worry, we will have Steve Dunn back on very shortly, I assure you guys, but you haven't heard the last from me. Appreciate it. I am Ryan Sprague of the SFLC podcast saying good night.